Well, welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Cale Buer. I'm the teaching pastor at our Delaware campus. And this past Sunday, we kicked off a new series that we're calling Built to Last. We're looking at our core values as a church. And we were talking about our core value, gospel identity, this Sunday, which in a lot of ways is sort of a foundational, really, for the other four core values, right? We have reaching priority, authentic community, spiritual intimacy, and personal ministry. But we kind of talk about how, you know, gospel identity sits at the heart of all of this. It's understanding who we are in Christ and that we are made new. That when we think of ourselves, if we're in Christ, then our identity is rooted there. And I ask everybody to take some time and think about, you know, how they answer the question, who are you? And we just sat in silence for a little bit. And man, let's think about, who am I? Right? Who are you? How do you define yourself? And the reality is that if you say you're a Christian, then, you know, what the scriptures say about us is that we are defined by our relationship with God through Christ. That we're His, that we are His sons and daughters, that we are made new, we're new creations, we're forgiven, right? We need to see ourselves according to the gospel. And so we went to John chapter 4 and sort of drawing this out more. We looked at John chapter 4 and this very well-known, if you know the scriptures at all, or you've been, you know, around the church, you've probably heard the story a number of times of Jesus and the woman at the well. And just this fascinating, powerful story of Jesus coming to this woman who is likely a social outcast. She's been married 5 different times. She's now living with someone who's not her husband. And she's there drawing water from a well. And Jesus starts this conversation with her, which breaks all of the social norms to begin with. A Jewish male, a Jewish religious male. I mean, Jesus is called a rabbi, and talking to a Samaritan woman, there was a lot of racial, religious, and political tension. And honestly, not just tension, really animosity between the Jewish people of the southern kingdom, right, of the south, and the Samaritans of the north. And so Jesus just sort of effortlessly steps into this conversation and begins dialoguing with this woman, and he talks to her about living water, right? He asks her for a drink, but then leads her into this conversation about, you know, if you knew who it is you were talking to, you would have asked me for living water. And he talks about this living water that will satisfy you, that will bring forever satisfaction. You'll never thirst again, and it'll well up in you and become a spring of eternal life. And he's talking about this, and she's like, well, give me that water. And she doesn't really understand, and that's sort of a theme throughout the Gospel of John, is people not really understanding what Jesus is saying. How they're always leaning towards the temporary, the physical, the material. Jesus is trying to get people to understand, and is preaching, right? No, it's spiritual, it's eternal. Your greatest need is not just this physical water. It's not even primarily the physical water you're drawing right now. It's the spiritual. You've got a thirst in your soul, and you need to be satisfied. And Jesus says, I offer that satisfaction. But what's really interesting is as she goes to ask him, she says, well, give me that water. He says, go get your husband. And it's this fascinating exchange where Jesus says, go get your husband. And she says, well, I don't have a husband, which is like sort of true. I mean, like, you know, it's true. And he says, yeah, that's a true statement. You've had 5 husbands, and the man you're now living with is not your husband. So yes, what you've said is true. And she moves on to talk about worship, where worship happens. There was a dispute between Samaritans and Jews on, you know, where is the holy place? Where should they worship? And Jesus says, look, you know, it's not about the place. It's about who you worship and how you worship, right? Spirit and in spirit and in truth. And then she talks about the Messiah. And she says, I know that when he comes into the world, right, he's going to teach us all things. And Jesus says, look, I am he. I am the Messiah. I'm the one that your soul needs. I'm the one who can satisfy you. And I love reading John 4. I think it's important that we zoom out as well. And we also recognize in John chapter 3, Jesus just got done talking to Nicodemus. And D.A. Carson, he's a theologian, and I was reading some of his commentary on this. He just notes that these two couldn't represent more different people. Nicodemus and the woman at the well, you've got a powerful, probably wealthy Jewish male who's a member of the Sanhedrin, right, of the like the ruling council, and then a Samaritan woman whose life is broken and messy, you know, some probably from her sin and also sin done to her, right? I mean, we just don't know, like, was she cast out by her husbands? Did she run out on them? But we know that she's currently living with someone who's not her husband. We know that there's a broken past there and it hurts, right? And like, you've got these people on really different ends of the social spectrum, and yet Jesus is sort of saying the same thing to both of them. To one, man, you need the living water that washes you clean, that regenerates you, that brings life and satisfaction. And then to Nicodemus, he's looking at him and he's not saying, you know what, you're good. No. He's like, you need to be born again. If you even want to see the kingdom of God, you have to be born again. And the point is, it doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter where you're coming from. Doesn't matter what your background is. All of us are sinners in need of a Savior. All of us need the living water. All of us need to be born again. None of us can save ourselves. None of us can heal ourselves. And the sin that we've done, the wrong that we've done, and the wrong's been done to us, we can find forgiveness and healing in Christ. Jesus has the power. We've got to confront our sin in order to embrace our Savior. But Jesus has the power to forgive and to heal a broken life. And he already knows our whole story. I mean, that's what's so wonderful, right? He walks into this moment, like he knows the woman's whole story. He knows Nicodemus' story. Like he knows us completely and yet is calling us into relationship with himself. And so, you know, we said on Sunday, in Jesus, we can be completely known and completely loved. In Jesus, right? Through the forgiveness of our sin and his acceptance, because he paid it all already at the cross. He paid for our sin at the cross, gave his life that we might find life in him and be completely known and completely loved. Here's what I want to do. I just want to take a moment and pray for you and then encourage you to take a moment, reflect on that, and pray for yourself. Heavenly Father, thank you that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Thank you for showing us the way in which you love us. Jesus, thank you that you do give the living water that satisfies our souls and gives us eternal life. Thank you that you are the way, the truth, and the life, and that we can come to the Father through you, you and only you. We thank you, God, for the gift of salvation by grace through faith in your Son and then the gift of the Holy Spirit. We love you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Take some time to pray now for yourself.